turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 29 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away.
Happy for your presence this morning, and thank Dustin for the reading. Talk to you about some sobering thoughts this day, and that's the time is short. That there is, and that there ought to be, a marked difference between those who profess to be Christians and those who are of the devil's world is clearly seen in the Word of God. Jesus tells his disciples, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. John 15 and verse 19. So the apostle says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Wherefore, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. As God has said, I will walk in them and dwell in them, and they shall be my God, and they shall be my people. I'll be their God. Wherefore, come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. So a marked difference between God's children and the devil's children, between Christians and those who are of the world. The apostle said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, the first two verses. Paul said, they that walk that mind the flesh and walk after the flesh, live by the flesh, shall die by the flesh. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That shows that contrast between those who are of the devil's world and those who are Christians. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. And we remember Jesus saying to Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, John 18, 36. In that the time is short, we need to realize that the things of this world are swiftly passing away, and that we're not to have a hold on the world, or the world is not to have a hold on us. The difference between Christians and those who are of the world originates primarily, I suppose, because of the thoughts that a Christian has, that he's taught by the teaching of the New Testament, and the principles that are formed in his or her mind. The apostle said that you be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom, that's Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4, verse 14 through 24. Yet, you'll have to excuse me this morning. I got a rattling down in my chest. It don't make me feel right. Yet in addition to these lofty reasons why Christians are not of this world, because in addition to these that I've just given you, one reason a Christian is not of this world is because of the temporary nature of the things of this world. The apostle said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above and not things on this earth. Set your affection on things above. Colossians chapter 3, the first three verses. Don't come down to the end of life and be like those in Jeremiah's time who said the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. I've often said I believe that's the saddest passage in all the Word of God. People who live their lives outside of Christ and come down to the time that they have to leave this world and they say the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. How sad. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Time is a precious commodity. The apostle speaks to us about redeeming the time, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. The preacher said there is a time for everything, a season for everything, and a time for everything under the sun, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. And the apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 29, brethren, the time is short. He may be speaking, I suppose, and as we discussed when we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he may be speaking of the coming destruction. But as we discussed this morning in regard to things in Matthew chapter 24 and so many places in the Bible, there are principles taught that teach us about the end of our lives, even as it was the end of the nation of Jerusalem. The time is short. It don't make any difference whether we live to be 100 years old and maybe some live to be older than that. In view of eternity, the time is always short. What a sobering thought. The brevity of life is emphasized in the Bible over and over again. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Job chapter 7 and verse 6. The psalmist said, man is likened to vanity. He fleeth as a shadow. Job talked in chapter 8 about man fleeing like a shadow over the land of a cloud. And it's in the wind and it just passes by. That's the way your life is and that's the way my life is. Job said, my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. And I've oftentimes remarked, Brother Curtis was a postman. Or he worked for the post office. About how we don't think the postman or the post office or the postal service is very swift these days. I've even noticed, Brother Darrell Shaw, he sent me something in the mail a while back, and he said, I'm going to send this by snail mail. You've heard that expression, I guess, as opposed to email on the computer where I guess it's there instantly. But we make a lot of jokes about the Postal Service, but I suppose they do a very excellent job in regard to the things that they have to contend with and the way that they have to do things. But anyway, Job says, my days are swifter than a post. He's talking about the postman. hundreds of years before Christ. And the one who was selected to carry messages and to carry the mail was the fastest person that they could find. And Job said, that's the way my life is. It's swifter than that runner. It's swifter than a post. It flees away. The psalmist said, the days of our years are spent as a tale that is told. Psalms 90 and verse 9. He went on to say, the days of our years are 80, and if by strength they be 80, if by strength they be 80, that's 80 years old, then is their strength labor and sorrow, and they're soon cut off, and we fly away. And we sang the song a while ago, I'll fly away, I'll fly away. You know, you can turn around a couple of times, and life is so brief, and life passes by so fast. I know these younger ones don't realize that. I didn't either when I was young, and I don't guess anybody does. I remember when I was a boy in school, while going to school from September till the time we got out for the Christ Mass holidays was forever. And then we got out for 2 weeks out of school. Man, life, 2 whole weeks. That was a long time. And then later, about the end of May, we got out of school for 3 whole months, and that seemed like an eternity. But what's 2 weeks or 3 months to you now, those of you who are older? Why, it's like the blink of your eye. It passes by so quickly. And I think about children. Today is set aside in the United States of America, I suppose, for Father's Day, another holy day. Nothing wrong with celebrating fathers or mothers or grandmothers or any of those relationships. But truly, this is the first day of the week, and that's what comes first. And we all love our dads and our moms, but the first day of the week is much more important. And today is much more important because it's the first day of the week than it is because people honor their fathers this day. But anyway, we think about children, those of us who are older. I was thinking about my youngest one yesterday. Now, back when she was a child growing up, we didn't have safety belts and shoulder straps in automobiles and pickups. And she would go with me, and she'd stand right beside me in the front seat of the pickup. Stood up, because if she sat down, she couldn't see over the dash. So she stood there in the front seat. And what the way she came to my mind yesterday was, Pat and I were going over by Dangerfield, and we were going to stop at a place we have down there, and we have a pool there, and Ethan, we were going to stop, and Ethan's not here, is he? Yeah, he is. Where is he? There he is. We was going to stop and feed those catfish that I told you about. And so the end of that pond, pool, tank, Ray, whatever you want to call it, I've got a culvert down on the end where the branch is, and you can cross that on the road, and you can go up to the side of the hill, and then you walk down to the water. But anyway, where that culvert is, that is slick. And it had been raining, and it was slick. And I thought, you know, we could slip off in there and be in trouble, be stuck. And I thought about that little one of mine. She used to stand there in the front seat of that pickup, and we had a place where we went down a hill, and we crossed a creek on the farm. And the creek, the low water crossing, was concrete. But getting down to that low water crossing, if it had been raining, and then after you got off of that concrete, getting back up the other side was sometimes a chore. And we'd slid off a lot of times, and we'd been stuck a lot of times. And yesterday when we were going across that culvert, I could just nearly hear that baby in my ears. Tuck, Daddy, get tuck. Turned around about twice, and she's grown. Turned around twice, and she's grown, and she's got a child of her own. And then that one goes with me. And she rides in the front seat of the pickup. And she loved to go to sale with me. Go to sale. Man, one time we went to sale down at Athens, Texas, and we was coming back home. Pat was with me, and she was with us, the oldest granddaughter. We're going to stop in Canton. There was a place there, still there, I guess. I hadn't been there in a while, but anyway, where Farm Bureau headquarters are. And they sell all kinds of things, like cattle panels and head gates and water troughs and everything in the world. Was going to buy some cattle panels. So we stopped there, and she was about probably 3, the granddaughter. And my trailer was empty, of course, and we just pulled in there, and the man that worked there, he came out, and they were loading the cattle panels, and we got all the panels loaded in the trailer, and I shut the gates on on the trailer, and that little one waved her hand and said, "Appreciate it." And I've laughed about that a lot of times. We've never forgotten that. It just sounds so strange coming from a 3-year-old. Now she's a senior in high school. And it seems like only yesterday. Time just goes by so fast, and the older you get, the faster it goes. And I realize those that are young don't see that, but if the Lord wills and they live very long, they will see it. And not only that, our lives are just hanging by a thin, brittle thread. The wise man said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Proverbs 27 in verse 1. We're just one heartbeat away, I generally say, from eternity. But time's always running. Time never stops. Time's a ship that never cast anchor. Time's an eagle that's always in flight. So the only time we have to serve the Lord and be right with Him is right now. Tomorrow may be too late. The Hebrew writer said, "Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. "Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 3 and verse 13. "Behold, now is the set accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. You just think about all these thoughts, and the fact jumps right out at you, and you cannot miss it. Brethren, the time is short. No matter what your age is, the time is short. 15, 55, 85. The time is short. Needs to be some serious thinking for all of us as all of our lives hasten to a close. So some serious thoughts. We live in the world. We're not of the world. Christians are not of the world, but we live in the world, and we have to be involved. But we must make attachments to fleeting things of this world with the brevity of our life in view. Our earthly relationships are important to us, but they don't need to tie us down to the extent of hindering us scripturally in our service to Almighty God. So the time is short. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the apostle said, "Brethren, the time is short." And then he gives 5 practical applications in regard to the time is short. First of all, he gives applications to fleshly ties, to those who we would term as our loved ones. Verse 29, he mentions wives in particular. He said, "The time is short, and the time will be when they that have wives will be as though they had none." All the ties in this life are temporary. They are frail, and they're dissolved at the grave, and the circle will be broken, contrary to what Johnny Cash sings about. The circle will be broken. We learn from the Word of God that the circle will be broken. It has been from the beginning. First book in the Bible, The Bible says Sarah died at Hebron in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to weep for her. Genesis 23 and verse 2. The Bible tells us of an incident in Luke chapter 7 that Jesus and his apostles came into a town, a city called Nain. And when they came into the city, there were men carrying a man, a dead man, out of the city, I suppose, to bury him. And his mother was weeping over her son and her son's death. And Jesus had compassion on her. The Bible says that the woman was a widow, and the man who had died was her only son. She was weeping over him, and Jesus had compassion on her. And he said, "Weep not." And then he raised her son from the dead. We often call that the raising of the widow's son at Nain. In Genesis chapter 49, the last verses, we read about Jacob dying. And chapter 50 of Genesis begins with his son Joseph. You remember the one that he made the coat of many colors, and that his brethren sold him down into Egypt. When Jacob his father died, the Bible says Joseph fell on his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. These ties, which are so close to us, will someday end and they will not be resumed. They asked Jesus about the resurrection, and they asked him about marriage in the same question. And he said, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of heaven." Matthew chapter 22, verse 29 and 30. We need to give our love and our care to those who are close to us, our family and our loved ones. But at the same time, we need to be busy living for eternity. God has first claim on us. God has first claim on our lives. The psalmist said, "Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Psalms 95, verse 8 and 9, I believe. The Bible teaches us that God always is the first one that we need to consider. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And then, of course, he mentioned, and thy neighbor as thyself. Have you ever thought about the Ten Commandments that was given to the Jews? How five of them deal with man's relationship with Almighty God, and the other five of them deal with man's relationship to his neighbor? And they asked Jesus, which is the greatest of the law? They thought he'd pick out one of those Ten Commandments. And he said, "The greatest is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself." He said, on these things hinge all the law and all of the prophets. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10, verse 37 and 38. And someday we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in the body according that we've done, whether they be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. With that in mind, the time is short. Our lives and our relationships on this earth will soon end. Let us notice a second practical application that the apostle makes when he says the time is short. That application has to do with the sorrows of life. He says in verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 7, "They that weep as though they wept not." The time is short. They that has wives as though they didn't have wives. They that weep as though they wept not. So the things of the sorrows of life. We can't let passing events overwhelm us. Job said, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." Job 14:1, and so we are. We greatly sorrow when we lose a loved one. But we need to always remember that none of us, not a single solitary one of us, is a permanent resident on this earth. The apostle said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are fallen asleep, and that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. Because time is short, we need to be not overwhelmed with the sorrows of life. Oftentimes we have memorial services for those who have passed away, and one thing we need to know is that time is short and we'll also soon pass away. The song we sang a moment ago, I'll fly away in a few more days, the Bible says, and we all will. So, there'll be a time when the sorrows of this life will be over. Those who weep as though they wept not, Paul says. It'll be over because the time is short. And in that's so, don't let the sorrows of life burden you to the extent that you don't properly serve Almighty God. Then he gives the third great principle that's attached to the idea of the time is short. And that has to do with the joys of this time, the things that we enjoy while we live in this life. He says, and they that rejoiced as though they rejoiced not. There's not a thing wrong with us enjoying life. In fact, the preacher says, then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better under the sun than to eat, to drink, and to be merry. So the wise man, Solomon, the preacher, he says, I commended mirth, or laughter, or joy. But we need to have joy most in the spiritual matters of life, and you can if you really grow in your service to God. The Apostle Peter said, believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. No wonder the Apostle Paul says, rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. And to the Philippians he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4. However, we need to keep in mind that prosperous and joyful times are sometimes brief. I've tried to tell people, I remember a young man called me one time, he's talking about he was going to buy him some cows. And he wanted to know what I thought about it. And I said, Tim, I'll tell you what I think about it. This has been several years ago. I said, these things are high right now. I wouldn't think about buying anything. I'd think about selling them if I thought about anything. Because the time will come when they'll be cheap again. And I got out of high school back in the 1960s, the first time ever, some calves was bringing $100. That was amazing. There'd never be another poor day. By 1975, it's 10 cents a pound. Then they went up again, then they went down again, and now they're up again, but they'll go down again. In fact, they fell about 7 cents last week. Good times don't last too long. Always keep that in mind. No need for us to hold on to good times because they're not going to be here long. Just enjoy them while we can. But don't let them control us. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Joshua 24, we read about the same sorts of ideas in regard to the children of Israel's good times. They'd come out of the land of Egypt, a joyous time, but it wasn't long before that time was over. And God made them wander around in a desert for 40 years. Now finally that 40-year tour of duty is over with, and they cross the Jordan River and come into the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey, a joyous time, a prosperous time. You ever read what Moses said to him in Deuteronomy 6, and same thing Joshua said to him in Joshua 24? He said, you've got houses to live in that you didn't build. You've got vineyards to eat of that you didn't plant. You've got wells to drink of that you didn't dig. But in the day that you forget the Lord and forget that He's given you all those blessings, in the day that you do that, you'll go right back into bondage, right back into slavery, right back into captivity, just like you were down in the land of Egypt. And that came to pass as the Assyrians came down and they took off the northern tribes, and then 135 years later that we've been studying about in the book of Daniel, then the Babylonians, the Chaldeans came down and they took off the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, because they had forgot the Lord. Moses said and Joshua said, beware lest you forget the Lord. We have to keep earthly things at an arm's length because the time is short. And then there's another application that the apostle makes, and I would say that has to do with business affairs. Verse 30, apostle says the time is short, verse 29. And then in verse 30 he says, and they that buy as though they possess not. You know, all of us have to be maintained by commerce. Well, yesterday morning I was watching Bonanza. You ever see, but I know you have. They had these three outlaws on there. And it was kind of a different Bonanza. It's kind of a comedy. And the three outlaws, they kidnapped this gold miner's dog because, first of all, they thought the dog could lead them to the vein of gold and they'd get rich because the miner was. And then when they finally found out that wasn't going to happen, that the dog didn't care anything about the vein of gold, well, they decided they would demand $10,000 in a ransom note to the gold miner. And this one said to the other one, he said, when are we going to quit doing these kind of things and stop robbing banks like other people do? That's the way a lot of people think, you know. They think that they're maintained by what they can steal from somebody else. But the admonition in the New Testament, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to them that are in need. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. We need not to let the business affairs of this life overwhelm us, because the time is short. Remember the rich farmer that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12? The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He said to himself, what shall I do? I have nowhere to bestow my fruits or my goods. This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I have wherewith to bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool! This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so it is with every man that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Luke 12, verse 16 through 21. Contrary to what you might think, titles are not eternal. Pettish used titles to land or houses that sit on land, or whatever it is that sits on land every day, I guess. They're insured titles, but they're not insured forever. Titles on property are not forever. They are not eternal. Soon, and real soon, somebody else is going to be owning our business. Somebody else is going to be owning our farm. Somebody else is going to be living in our house. Somebody else is going to have our jobs. Somebody else is going to spend our money. Paul says the time is short. So they that buy as though they possess not, don't let the business affairs keep you from your service to Almighty God. In fact, he goes on to say when he writes Timothy, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. The time is short. Don't let business affairs overwhelm you like they did the rich farmer of Luke chapter 12. Then notice the fifth principle that is laid down by the apostle in regard to this thought, the time is short. And that has to do with the proper use of this world. Verse 31, he says, the time is short, and they that use this world as not abusing it, or as not abusing this world. We need to receive God's gifts and the things that he blesses us with thankfulness in our heart, and use them in the right way and for the right purpose. The preacher said, every man also to whom the Lord has given riches and wealth, and hath given him the power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to enjoy the things of his labor. This is the gift of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 19. But according to verse 31, those things can be abused. Use this world, but don't abuse this world. Sometimes I believe there's an abuse of privileges that we have in this life, of fun and games. Sometimes, even though they're good things, sometimes they're not good, because people become obsessed with things. Brother Harshbarger and I were talking the other night, talking about a fellow in Nacogdoches. And he was talking about this fellow, Jerry. He had bought a new plane. And Jacob Hudgens was with us, and we were talking. And Randy said he took me for a ride in his new plane the other day. He said, you know, that thing's even got a bathroom in it. And I said, a bathroom in it? I said, what's he doing, running an airline? He just laughed and said, no, he just bought him a new airplane the other day, a twin-engine job. And I don't know, a six or eight place, and a bathroom in it. And I said, well, what in the world does he do anyway? He said, he's a futures trader in the market. And this is what Randy said. He said, you know, he's a member of the church down there in Nacogdoches. He said, you know, the problem is that he is almost obsessed with that. That's all he does night and day is sit at a computer and watch the market and the changes and the ups and downs. I said, he buys and sells and gets gain. He said, yeah. But he said, he's obsessed with it. And a lot of people are like that about the things of this life, whether it be their business or for sometimes we might get kind of obsessed about football. Don't let it get you obsessed to the point that you can't serve God. Some people do. Some people do. So we have things in this world, but sometimes even the stability of the Lord's church is threatened because its members are caught up too much in those types of things. We're stewards of everything that we have, everything that God has given us. And don't forget 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it's declared that in stewards a man shall be found faithful. Point is, the time is short. Life is hastening to its close. So the grand business of life is to prepare for death. And that sobering thought ought to ever be before us. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 9 and verse 4. Well, all those thoughts. The time is short, and all those things that Paul mentioned, those five sobering thoughts. There's a reason why the time is short. And he says the reason for that is for the fashion of this world passeth away. That word fashion, that's in verse 31. For the fashion of this world passeth away. That word fashion is a term of the theater, I understand, in the Greek language. In other words, it's like a play. And the different scenes play out in a play. And the scenery changes. And act one is over and the curtain goes down and the people behind the curtain are busy changing the scenery. The fashion of this world passes away. The things of your life are like a play. You see this act, and then there's this act, and then there's this act, and it varies until the play is over. And so you start out, and the play really does seem like mostly fun and games when you're a child, and then it becomes more serious. In the last act, it becomes critical. Another writer said of that word passion in the Greek language, it's like a parade that passes by. And that's the way your life is. It's just a parade that passes by before your eyes. And one poet said, all the world is a parade. The fashion of this world passes away. That parade is going to be over. And that play is going to end. So like the parade and the play that excites us, it passes by. So life slips away. And it just skips along like health and like strength. And pretty soon it's gone. James says, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and we'll continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, for you know not what is on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James 4 and verse 14. David said, there's only a step between me and death. 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3. And in view of eternity, in just a moment, every one of us will begin the play unto the end. Peter said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, the elements will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and all the works therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. And the time is short. So a lesson for all of us, I suppose, would be the greatest lesson is that we need to shelve the urgent in order to do the important. Like Mary and Martha, you remember that story in Luke chapter 10. Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. And the Bible says that Martha was cumbered about much serving. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, carest thou not that I serve alone? Bid my sister that she come and help me. And you remember the mild yet rebuke that Jesus gave her. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. So, shelve the urgent so you can take care of the important. Don't be lazy, but make sure the truly important things are done. Make sure the truly important things don't get covered up and crowded out with those urgent things, things that are far less important. So, the time is short. Value your time on this earth highly, but use it wisely.
psalmist said, our days are spent as a tale that is told. Psalms 90 and verse 9. And then he talks about the 80 years and 10. And if they by reason of strength be 80 years, yet are they, their strength is labor and sorrow, they soon cut off and we fly away. So you know what he says in verse 12? Just the next verse, pass that down. He said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalms 90, verse 12. Our days are as a tale that is told. The fashion of this world passes away, like the parade and like the play. So you number your days. You apply your hearts unto wisdom. Make sure you shelve urgent things so you can take care of important things. You obey the gospel of Christ? So you that believe in me at that time, so that's an important thing. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ, but you haven't been as faithful as you ought to? Then the command for you, repent of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart might be forgiven. Acts 8:22. We'll sing a song to encourage you to make yourself right.
Jesus, the Lord, laid his glory aside. Sinners to save.
school was out, that we would begin a class to help those young men who would like to do some preaching or teaching. And we won't start that shortly, or I do. Several of you in here have said something to me about it, and I understand we have two young men from Mesquite that want to come to that class and participate in that. And I'm hoping Clinton Austin, if you all remember Clinton from McKinney, I'm hoping that he will come. The other night, I was down there in Longview, Batman, we listened to a young black man preach the gospel from down in Beaumont, and I thought about Clinton all the time he was up there. And now I believe that he has some great ability, and I hope that he'll come and we can help him and maybe get him started doing some things in regard to that work of the gospel of Christ. But any of you who are interested in studying and preparing yourselves, let me know about that. We haven't set the time for that class. We don't know if we are, we want to set the time when the most can be here. Whether that be on a weeknight or a Sunday afternoon or whatever it be. So if you're interested in that, why, you let me know, and you let me know when's the best time for you to be here, and then we'll try to determine when we want to set that. But we need to start it soon so we can complete that and have some progress made before school starts again and some of the younger ones have to go back to school. Thank you.
Once again, it's good to see everyone here. Let's look around. I've noticed that Travis Christian's not here. Anyone? There's no reason he might be here. Let's check on him. Let's also remember the Clarks have moved to Kansas. I'm sure she is quite miserable being pregnant, living in a camping trailer. It'd be pretty rough. So, but let's remember them. Anybody else that we need to mention? If not, let's be dismissed. Word for it.
Holy Father, we're thankful. Holy Father, for family and friends, we're especially thankful for thy church. Holy Father, help us to be obsessed with glorifying, worshiping, and following as it be. With the teaching, building one another up in the most holy faith. Holy Father, considering how time is so short, help us to make the most of it. Help us, Father, to flee the works of the flesh, do the fruits of the Spirit, to make upon those things that are holy and righteous.